Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you up to date on your Medicaid benefits? If you're not using them, you may not know what that means. But when you need those benefits and are not up to date, you may be in for some real difficulties. Well, on this Medical Monday, we're going to help you navigate the bureaucratic maze of Medicaid benefits. My guests are Adrian Jordan, president of Amerigroup DC, and Yvonne Boyd, director of the Ward 8 Hub for a Wider Circle, an anti-poverty nonprofit. If you have any comments, if you have any questions, give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can X me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Adrian, Yvonne, thank you both for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. Let me start with some basic stuff. And I'll start with you, Yvonne. What is the difference between Medicaid and Medicare?
So Medicaid, Medicaid provides services to lower income residents. Medicare is for seniors. So we at A Wider Circle, we help a lot of seniors when they're turning 65 apply for their Medicare benefits. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are dual eligible because of their financial circumstances. So we're located in Ward 8 of Washington, D.C., in public housing. We're actually located in Highland Dwellings, which is at Atlantic and Condon Street. And we provide full services for people that walk through the door. Navigation, we have a food pantry, we provide clothing, we have programming Monday through Thursday. So Amerigroup is a huge partner for us. They come out and explain and really work with the residents to understand the importance of ensuring that they have their Medicaid intact and they do not lose benefits.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, how does Medicaid work exactly? What kind of benefits are we talking about here?
So just taking a step back with Medicaid, we're one of four managed care organizations in the district mm-hmm. that works with D.C. government to administer Medicaid services. So what that means is we cover approximately, and when I say we, all the Medicaid agencies, cover about 250,000 district residents who are covered through their health insurance with Medicaid. So what Amerigroup does, we provide your insurance, but like you said, what are some of these extra services? It's working with community-based organizations like A Wider Circle, working with our providers to provide what I would call value-added benefits, rides, things to address social needs. So it's not just healthcare, it's your employment. It's do you have food in your kitchen? Are you educated? Do you have rides and transportation? So it's a whole health approach to healthcare.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk specifically about, and we can drill down just a little bit more about that, about some of the benefits that Medicaid provides, how do you know, aside from being over 65, that you are eligible? I mean, as I said in the beginning, for those people who perhaps are not using their Medicaid benefits, they may have heard about it, but they don't necessarily utilize it. So how do you get in on Medicaid registration, for lack of a better term?
So the district has had virtually universal coverage pre-pandemic. Virtually 99% of residents had some level of insurance, whether it was Medicaid, the health exchange, or through your employer. What happened during the pandemic, or the public health emergency, I should say, we stopped checking for eligibility. So no one, once you got on the rolls, you didn't have to renew, you didn't have to go through the paperwork, the procedural processes. They didn't happen for a couple of years. So now we're in this unwinding period where people who've just got on the roll, tens of thousands of people, they don't know, to your question, if they're eligible, what they have to do. So the district, the managed care organizations, community-based organizations, providers, federally qualified health centers, we're all working together to educate the population. And the first step that folks can do, if we don't get to you first, the district has a website, districtdirect.dc.gov, where you can go and just check your base level eligibility to see if your time is up, to see what benefits you have, and maybe what you have to do to renew.
Mm-hmm. So, but Yvonne, I'm sure as you work with, you know, a population that is unfortunately in many cases underserved.
Correct.
What kinds of issues are they encountering when it comes to making sure that they are on the rolls, particularly when we've had all of these changes connected to the pandemic?
Right. I think one of the major challenges I see really is literacy and understanding. So we have clients that come in and we actually read their mail to them. And so that's why it's so important for AmeriGroup and groups like that to come out and educate, to be able to respond to the questions that people actually have. Because people just automatically assume that it's going to continue. So they've been doing a really great job. They come out to our community events and take time and do one-on-one, do information sessions, all of these things. Because again, I see a lot of literacy challenges. And although the materials are not, may not be difficult for, say, the average person to read, if you're at a third grade reading level, it can still be a little challenging. And confusing.
Yeah.
202-319-7810.
202-319-7810. We are talking about Medicaid benefits. What are they? Are you eligible? What do they do? If you have a comment, if you have a question about Medicaid benefits, give me a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So you said something interesting. You're reading mail to them. What does or what might a correspondence from Medicaid to a person say?
You need to re-enroll.
So and what does that mean exactly?
As Adrian was saying, that the pandemic is over, and so now you have to make sure that you're still eligible. And I just helped someone with paperwork today.
Okay.
It says, you know, we will assist you. If you need assistance, you can call this number. Or if you want to continue, you know, we just need you to sign off and say we want to continue to have your services or utilize your services. And I think that this is so important. Again, them coming out into the community is huge, because that one-on-one, you get a lot of mail. A lot of people get a lot of mail and discard it. Offices are actually in an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually see, you know, discarded mail around. So that one-on-one interaction coming out into the community like they do is so important, because the residents have an opportunity to ask those questions and understand these are the services, even the additional services that are provided under the, you know, under the insurance.
So let's be clear, Adrian, that Medicaid is federal government, but it is administered by the states. Is that correct?
It's correct.
Okay. And even though the District of Columbia is not a state, it should be. That's another conversation. But it also administers Medicaid. So Medicaid was around before the pandemic, though. So what was the difference between Medicaid pre-pandemic and during the pandemic and now?
So you had an expansion of who was eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there were a lot of hardships during the pandemic where people lost their jobs or made them newly eligible for Medicaid. What was new, or the perfect storm, is that you got tens of thousands of people who enrolled for the first time on Medicaid during the pandemic. So they never had to go through the procedural stuff that those who had been on Medicaid prior had done. So now you have, gosh, tens of thousands of people just in the district alone for the first time have to renew. And it's an arduous process. It's probably a 60-page document. Not all has to do with Medicaid, but it has a bunch of other benefits that you have to go through. And if you went through it in an easier time, where we wanted people on the rolls and we didn't want them to fall through the cracks, and now we're saying we're reinstituting the policies previously, you have a under-experienced group of people, and it's a large group of them, and that's that perfect storm where you don't want anyone to fall off, let alone tens of thousands at the same time.
So help me with this. Are there some people post-pandemic that will no longer be eligible?
So each state is different. You know, there's the whole statement, if you've seen one Medicaid plan, you've seen one Medicaid plan. In the district, we've had high insurance rates before the pandemic, so we don't believe there will be many people who will no longer be eligible. We believe the issue is paperwork.
Okay. I want to get to that in just a bit, but I want to go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about Medicaid benefits. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's go to Frederick calling from Sierra Vista, Arizona. Frederick, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi. Love your show, Harold.
Thank you so much.
And I'm out here in Sierra Vista, Arizona. I'm a retired military and also about to retire as a VA civilian. And I'm told when I hit 65, I am I'm obligated by law to apply for Medicare B, Medicaid B or Medicare B, Plan B, something like that. I'm not very versed on it in depth, but... I've talked to some people, and they had to apply for that, and they said they don't even cover just that small thing like your eye coverage and dental and stuff like that. But even if you have your own sufficient insurance plan that you go through, me, TRICARE for life, you know, and they take care of that stuff. But I'm forced to pay for something. I'm going to be forced to pay for something when I turn 65 because it's the law.
Yeah.
I'm just like to get some kind of,
some clarity.
Opinion.
Who can you address that, Adrian? Because obviously one of the other things, and I think Frederick is a prime example, because I started off saying, what's the difference between Medicaid, Medicare, and... And he was like, well, CARE, CADE, A, B, C, D. There's a whole alphabet. Can you try to give him some clarity, Adrian, on this is the bureaucratic issue that a lot of people are struggling with?
Yeah, and Yvonne did a really good job explaining it earlier, and I was going to take my headset off and just let her speak. But Medicare, as she said, is for those who are over the age of 65. And Medicaid, the program that AmeriGroup DC runs here in the District of Columbia, is for folks who qualify for several things. You could be disabled, you could be blind, but primarily for economic means. So it's two different programs as well. And Medicare, which I am not well versed in, is very different from Medicaid.
Yeah. Well, specifically as it relates to Medicaid, how would someone enroll? That's does it automatically happen when you're 65?
So there is no automatic enrollment for Medicaid.
Okay.
You have to go apply for services. So the same as if you were to look for SNAP benefits or TANF or be in the WIC program, you would go to a district website. You could go to an AmeriGroup DC website, and it will take you to the portal for the Department of Healthcare Finance or Department of Human Services, and you would go put in your economic information and your demographics, and it would tell you what you would be eligible for.
Okay. Now, in this case, help me with this if you can, Yvonne, because one of the other things that I know a lot of people struggle with is the alphabet soup of Medicaid.
Yes.
Can you explain that in layman's terms?
Give me a little more detail.
Well, for example, Frederick, what were you saying? You said Medicaid what?
Yeah.
D?
Medicare.
I think it's Medicare.
So Medicaid, you were talking about Medicare.
Right.
Okay. And but here's the thing that I guess I had a little epiphany, that it seems if you're forced to pay into that, it seems like that might be something that's subsidizing Medicaid. If Medicare people are people who retired, maybe working for the federal government only. I'm not for sure if it just only applies to us. But when you turn 65, you have to get that and pay for that, even though the benefits don't cover you as much. And maybe the same care and coverage of Medicaid might be, I don't know, symbiotic or
so Frederick, let me help me out so that I can help you, because we've got some other calls. What is your question?
The question, I guess, I heard you talking about Medicare, Medicaid.
No, we're only talking, see, this conversation is specifically about Medicaid. We only talked about kind of the differences between the two.
Okay, then I apologize. Different total topic, and I apologize.
Well, and no apology necessary, because I think that, and that is one of the difficulties of trying to help navigate the system, because for those who are eligible, they are trying to figure out what is this, you know, what is the difference between the two. But Frederick, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it, and congratulations on your retirement. We need to take a break. Raquel calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you next. Also, Ray calling from Southeast D.C. We will be taking your call as well. Please do not hang up the telephone. You will be able to hear the program. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Medicaid tonight on The Daily Drum. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM. Channel 141. The original Quiet Storm is being done by Iron Waller tonight. That's happening on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. On this Medical Monday, we're going to help you navigate the bureaucratic maze of Medicaid benefits. My guests are Adrian Jordan, president of Amerigroup DC, and Yvonne Boyd, director of the Ward 8 Hub for a Wider Circle, an anti-poverty nonprofit. If you have a comment or question about Medicaid, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Raquel calling from DC. Thanks for calling, Raquel. What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling about the Medicaid part.
Okay.
I'm currently a recipient of Medicaid, but I hit a stumbling block as far as with the doctor's coverage in the D.C. area. I got my benefits through the District Direct app, and I had it for a while. I went from Care First to Amerigroup, right? But when I made an appointment for a dermatologist, they said they only accept Medicaid. And that's what I thought I had. I gave them my policy and my information, and they said that it was Medicare. I'm confused.
Well, yeah, no, I would be confused too. No, you do have Medicaid if you're covered through Amerigroup DC, and we have a pretty vast network here. So I'm not sure why a provider would tell you you had Medicare and not Medicaid. The one thing I can tell you to do is if you can reach out to us at Amerigroup, we can have a case manager reach out to you and try to help you work through this.
What's the phone number?
That is a good number. I don't know my own phone number.
To be honest, I did reach out, and it was kind of complicated as well, because they were explaining that I did have Medicaid, but most doctors say that it's not straight Medicaid. I guess that's what they're saying.
Well, nope, it is still that. So I know it's frustrating. I would have you, you got me now, so that's probably the best person you've called. I would tell you to call again, explain it, tell them you spoke with me, and we can try to get you help with our provider relations team.
So this would be 202-548-6700?
Here you go.
Yeah. Raquel, their phone number is 202-548-6700. By the way, as always, you will be able to find a link to the two organizations represented here tonight, along with phone numbers where you can get information. But the information, the number that you're looking for is 202-548-6700. And hopefully that will help you when you can call during business hours tomorrow.
Can I get one more question in about
Go right ahead.
With Medicaid, does that cover every medication, or are we suggested for certain medications?
Well, the district has a schedule of everything that they cover and everything that we're allowed to cover. We are a contractor to the District of Columbia government. But I can tell you, if you came from Care First and it was covered and you have us, I am 100% certain you have the same coverage.
The same coverage as what, Care First?
Yeah, if you had a prescription with Care First, you have the same prescription with Amerigroup DC. We cover it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Raquel, thank you so much. So here's my question. And this is confusing. I'm just going to call a spade a spade. This is confusing. Raquel was confused. Frederick was confused. Why is this so confusing? Ladies and gentlemen, you are on the air. You are the experts. I need you to talk to me. So, Yvonne, yes. Why is this so difficult? Why is this so confusing for people?
I think your point earlier, one of it is paperwork.
Okay.
Understanding it. Sometimes it's even who you reach on the phone and their ability to effectively explain to you how to navigate the system and the services. Then you have a lot of groups that just go online. We also have to realize that there are some technology challenges mm-hmm. that people have. A lot of folks that we serve may have a smartphone but can only answer it.
I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll chime in. You know, healthcare just in itself is confusing. Whether you have commercial insurance, Medicare, Medicare Part D, Medicaid, if you're on the health benefit exchange, it's so confusing that we hear about it, what every presidential election, every politician talks about, changing and making healthcare better. So if I had the answer for how we make it better, then I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be on a yacht somewhere because I fixed the healthcare system. But I can tell you a lot of the stuff that we do at Amerigroup, like working with the community-based organizations, are going to where our members are. We have 72,000 members. We can't talk to all of them. But organizations like A Wider Circle and the providers we work with, some of the federally qualified health centers like Unity, they see these members, they know them. They know that they may be on a third grade level where we're putting our stuff out on a fifth grade level.
So let me stop you there. Because what I think what our listeners are looking for, what I'm looking for, why does Medicaid need Adrian Jordan and Amerigroup? What do you do when this goes from the federal government? How does it work? What is it that, for example, Raquel was asking about her prescriptions. Does Medicaid pay for prescriptions? Does it pay for, what does it do?
Yes, so simply, we're a payer. The government.
What does that mean?
The government pays us premiums, revenue to pay for the health care services for those who cannot pay for themselves.
So if I'm on Medicaid, if I am part of the Medicaid system and I go to the hospital because I'm having high blood pressure issues or what have you, how does my doctor, how does the hospital get paid? Do I have a Medicaid card?
Yeah, you have a Medicaid ID card that says Amerigroup or whoever is your insurer, just as if you had commercial insurance.
I see.
And that's who they bill.
Okay.
With no cost coming from any of our members, and that's the big difference between commercial and Medicaid. Our members don't pay for any of the services.
Okay. So how much is, so it's covered 100%?
Yes.
So I go back to you, Yvonne, where that seems really easy. So how does someone register? How do you become, because it would seem to me, I'm 35 and I'm talking about government bureaucracy now,
right?
Obviously. But if I'm 65, excuse me.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that my Medicaid benefits are in place, what do I do? Walk me through that.
Most people are receiving mailers,
mm-hmm.
and it'll say, hey, you are up for renewal. Ensure that your coverage will continue. Do you want to continue to stay with our particular company. If they are happy with where they are, mm-hmm. then it's merely a sign off, checking to make sure that they're still eligible. Like, has your income changed? Has your address changed? Do you plan on changing? Is there a change in your family composition? Just mm-hmm. all of those things are factors that are looked at. But again, to Adrian's point, when you go on the DC government site to navigate through, you can, one of the things we do to make sure people are still eligible is there's like a really quick checklist, a really quick thing that you'll check off, and you'll go through the process and say, these are the things that you are eligible for.
How long does it take you to renew? And what happens if you fall off the roll?
So I think renewal is case by case. It can be really quick if you haven't changed anything, right? You have all your stuff, you have all your paperwork, you can get through it. If you have a lot of life changes, then that kid, you have to go back and recertify for a bunch of different things. However, the district, unlike some jurisdictions which have kicked a lot of people off the rolls, they're allowing a 90-day grace period. So if your eligibility time comes up and you're off, you have 90 days to go back and recertify, and it would be like you had coverage those entire 90 days. So you may be off, but you still have 90 days to resume coverage.
What is the current deadline for that? Where are we in that whole 90 days? Is it 90 days for each individual? So in other words, if you were eligible a month ago and I'm kicked off, that means you have 60 days, correct? But if it happened to me today, I would have 90 days. Is that what we're talking about?
And each person has a different redetermination date. Some, depending on when you signed up, you know, years ago, it could be August, it could be September, October. So it's rolling, and it depends on when you first signed up for services and benefits. Mm.
So again, Medicaid is for everyone, no matter, but it's based on their income, not age. Is that correct?
Primarily, because there is that group that I think Yvonne mentioned, the dual eligibles, those who qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ray calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I mean, because I accept the questions that you are making for those of us who's in these positions that receive services from the government, and then the subject being Medicaid and Medicare. Having a question, because it sounds good coming from those who, in the seats that they are in, because, you know, because they sitting behind the desk, you know, and this what they think is perhaps the truth that the public is getting. But we are not getting that. Like you said, you got the, it's like the word look like cipher through the system. You know, the navigate is like siphoning through the system. And that's like what we go through. It's like it's those behind the desk that got the cipher down pat because they got a blueprint. They are navigating us.
Well, Ray, let me ask you, what is it? What services are you not getting through Medicaid?
Okay, I mean, because that's what I'm saying. You asked some important questions for us over those two people that call. Mine is with my wife. Okay, being a retired worker.
Okay.
At that senior level, 67 years old. Right, she was dealing with Kaiser, another formative of the medical system, you know, because she was receiving also a Mer Health. Well, and I know one of them said they do Medicare.
So Ray, I've got a lot of people on the line. What is your specific issue? I need you to just really break it down for me. What is your challenge with Medicaid?
It's that, like, when she pays from a MERS group out of her pocket, this a MERS Health. This, I'm talking about a MERS Health that is a part of Medicare. And they had her to come out of pocket because they said...
So let me say this, Ray. We're talking specifically about Medicaid, not Medicare. Okay?
Okay, but you say both of them there for Medicare and Medicaid.
No, just Medicaid. We're just talking about Medicaid today. All right.
Oh, I thought you say.
I asked to differentiate between the two, which again, this is a recurring issue, even in the course of this conversation, where the bottom line is people are still struggling to understand the difference between the two. So I'm asking my experts. Medicare, you got to be 65. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Medicaid is for everyone, but it is income-based. Okay? Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. You got that, Ray? So this...
I mean, yeah, I got it. I was trying to get you a point that as far as who she got to contact, being 67 years old, just retired. I received Medicaid.
Okay.
So let me hold on, Ray.
I got you. So what you're trying to say, what you're trying to figure out is, who does your wife reach out to for Medicaid?
Yes, for Medicaid, being a senior.
I see.
67.
That's you. All right. Yvonne.
Okay. So you want to know who exactly your wife is your wife currently covered with any insurance?
She was covered under Mara Health.
Okay.
But they said they made her come out of pocket. They said that she wasn't covered when she went in early in the week. She was covered. She had an appointment the end of the week. Okay. They said she wasn't covered, so she came out of her pocket. She had to pay from out of her pocket. You know, to pay for her service.
Okay.
And now that she don't have no coverage.
So was she dropped because she retired? There wasn't a transitional period? What happened during that window?
This is what I'm saying. We're talking about 4 days.
Okay.
One day, when she had Amara Health. I got a card in my hand.
Okay.
Amara Health.
Mm-hmm.
They accepted it. But she had an appointment that Friday. When she go in for that appointment, she wasn't covered. They find, they say, oh, she's not covered. No longer covered. She got to go get, I guess she got to go get recertified in the next exam. This is what the hospital receptionist was saying.
Okay.
So my wife, she said, but you got to pay the out-of-pocket.
Because she had to pay because she was not. She was no longer covered.
Right.
So how does that, so what does she do now?
So did you, Ray, did you all call back to AmeriHealth to find out what happened?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did they say?
Yes, ma'am.
What did they say?
They said she had to get recertified. She gave me some other information saying who I got to contact, and then she could my wife receive the money that she came out of pocket with by calling this money. Did she say it might?
So he was asking about a reimbursement.
Okay,
so Ray, let me just stop you right here and have Yvonne answer the question. So in layman's terms, what is happening and what does Ray need to do and others who were in that similar predicament?
Well, Ray, in this situation, you are in D.C., correct?
Southeast.
Okay, would you be willing to come by our office? We're at 400 Atlantic Street in Southeast.
Okay.
I'll give you the phone number.
Okay, give me the phone number.
Okay, it's 202
891-7894. 94.
Right, and our address is 400 Atlantic Street, Southeast.
Okay, I got it.
And our entrance is on Condon Terrace. So you'll see a sign that says a water circle. So feel free to come by our office Monday through Thursday.
Is that where you're located?
That's where I am located, yes. I'm the director of the Ward 8 Hub, yes. So we'd be happy to help you navigate, make the phone calls, send the emails, whatever needs to happen to get to the bottom of what's going on in this situation, okay?
Okay, could you pronounce your name again?
My name's Yvonne. It's Y-A-V as in Victor, O-N-N-E, and my last name is Boyd, B-O-Y-D.
Okay.
Okay.
Ray, thank you so much. Good luck to you. I appreciate your phone call. I want to go back, Yvonne, to, again, layman's terms. Mm-hmm. What happened with Ray, from what you understand?
What I understand is coverage got dropped, but he said that she needed to recertify.
Okay.
So there's
And what does that mean when you say someone needs to recertify? Because according to him, it was 4 days. Day one, card accepted. Day four, not accepted.
Right, absolutely. So she may have fallen off the rolls. And the good thing that Adrian said is they'll go back 90 days. So in D.C., if you have fallen off the rolls, you still have that window. Mm-hmm. So you would still be covered during that time. So we just really have to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Make some phone calls, figure out what happened, and make sure that she's, you know.
Would it be possible for her to get reimbursed for services that she paid for when her card was not accepted?
That's an Adrian question.
Yeah, well, given it's not one of our members, I don't know the specifics of that.
But I mean, generally speaking,
I don't know. I've not heard of a situation in where someone has been reimbursed for things that have come out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Mike calling from Baltimore. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I would like to address the issue with Medicaid.
Yeah.
And how it impacted upon immigrants or new Americans. Because during the pandemic, and correct me if I'm wrong, during the pandemic, immigrants that they had green cards, but they did not meet the 5-year bar, they also automatically qualified for Medicaid. Am I correct?
So I'm not sure in the district if that's the case. In the district, they have a separate program for those individuals who don't typically qualify for traditional Medicaid because of residency status. It's called the DC Alliance Program. And we've had that before the pandemic and through the duration.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I mention it because I have seen people that all of a sudden were dropped that were immigrants, and then they were dropped and they had to go back to meeting the 5-year bar, because if you have a green card, you have to be here for 5 years before you become eligible for medical assistance.
So,
and because we were in a pandemic, they were eligible for the Medicaid, but after the pandemic lifted, they were dropped and have to go back to the 5-year bar.
So what's your question, Mike?
I just wanted to point that out, because there are a lot of people out there that fall into that category that were confused and thinking that they had this Medicaid on a regular basis, but they didn't understand why they were dropped.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you for your comment. Adrian, do you have any thoughts about what Mike was sharing with us about being dropped, post-pandemic?
No, I think it just goes to your theme about it being confusing. And as you mentioned, it's a federal program, but it's administered by states. So each state program is different. The district has handled this differently than probably any other jurisdiction by creating a separate program that's similar to Medicaid, but it's called the DC Alliance, which didn't have these recertification issues that the caller talked about.
I see. Derek, calling from DC. Thanks for calling, Derek. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. My question is, so COVID was mentioned a little bit at the beginning of the program. So and it was detrimental to a lot of people as far as not being able to get to a lot of appointments and become more sedentary, which is something I'm guilty of. So what are some programs or services in Medicaid, even through AmeriGroup, or maybe some programs that a lot of circles that someone like myself who's trying to get back into their health can take advantage of?
So some of the things we talked about this earlier, some of the value-added benefits, Weight Watcher programs, gym membership, rideshare transportations to get to your appointments and things like that. So it's not just your payer when you go to the hospital. It's also someone to help you get healthier in life by doing some of these activities. So I know with the AmeriGroup, we have a bunch of value-added benefits that I just mentioned, and I know some of the other plans have competitive ones as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Derek, do you currently have Medicaid?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so here's my question for either of you. How do you know outside of your basic medical benefits, whether it's hospitalization, doctor visits, pharmacy, what Medicaid covers? Because I think Derek is a prime example. He wants to do something else beyond that. So how do you know? Does it vary from payer to payer?
Yep, there's slight variances depending on who offers what and who they contract with. Your first stop will probably be the quickest way, the websites. So you go to the website of your managed care organization of choice and see what they cover, or in a community event where we may be, and ask a community rep or a marketing rep, you know, hey, can you tell me a little bit more about my business or about my benefits? I'm sorry. And then if you are a member, we also have what we call the Cindy app, which allows you to see your digital Medicaid ID card, who your providers are, who your dentists are, and those value-added benefits that we talked about.
Okay. Derek, hopefully that helps.
Can I circle back just really quickly? And one of the things he did ask is some of the programs that A Wider Circle offers also. So every Monday we have a walking club where we walk at 9:30 to just get folks out in the community, get some good exercise, and they have an opportunity to connect. Every Wednesday is Wellness Wednesday. From 12 to 1, we have an exercise class, and then we have a healthy lunch. And all of these services that we provide are free, and they're hosted at 400 Atlantic Street in Southeast. Anyone is welcome. No sign-up is required.
So, and that's something that A Wider Circle provides specifically, but this is not necessarily connected to Medicaid.
Correct. He was just asking about some of the programs and mm-hmm. things that we do for people who had a sedentary lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we do to support the community.
Okay. Derek, thank you so much for your phone call, and good luck to you. 202-319-7810. Yvonne calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, you mentioned that even though this is in the district, the Medicaid is a government agency, but yet the states have jurisdiction over it. Are there any similarities, or is just the sole discretion of the states?
I'm sorry. Say, ask that again, please, Yvonne.
Even though Medicaid is a government program, the states is a statewide jurisdiction. Is that right? The states have jurisdiction over their own plan of
yeah.
Medicaid?
Yeah, that's correct.
And okay. Are there any similarities within the states, or it's just the discretion of each state?
There are similarities, but it is at the discretion of the states. Each state has to do a state plan or state plan amendment, which they then send to CMS, which is the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare. And then they get approved, and they say, okay, you can administer your program. It's approved.
And then is there a Medicaid office in each state that you would call or contact for any questions?
Yes. So in D.C., it's the Department of Healthcare Finance.
Okay. I have a slightly troubling situation because a provider said that they accept Medicaid. However, they did not accept the Medicaid that I had. CareFirst Community Health Plan. Mm-hmm. They accept Medicaid, but they didn't accept that particular managed care organization.
So what should she do? I mean, it sounds to me that if this particular provider, just like any other private insurance company, they may take Blue Cross Blue Shield, they may take Cigna, but they may not take Kaiser. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so should she find another healthcare provider, or what should she do when she is presented with that kind of obstacle?
Well, my recommendation would always be trust but verify. As a member of any health plan, you can go and see their provider directory and see who they have provider contracts with. Work with your health plan to verify that is the case. And if it absolutely is the case that your doctor, your provider is not in network, then you probably would have to find a health plan who does have them in network, but you want to do that research, you know, well ahead of time. You don't want to switch to another MCO that also doesn't have that doctor, and you just get in this cycle of switching and switching and switching.
I understand.
Okay. Yvonne, thank you so much for your phone call. Real quick, for someone who is just trying to navigate the Medicaid process, Yvonne, before you go see your doctor, before you do anything, what kind of ducks do you need to have in a row before you venture out into this complex world?
Are you starting with the application process, or you already have it and you just want to make sure that, hey, I can still continue to see my same provider?
Either one.
Okay. So I guess starting out just to make sure that you're eligible, going through that process, do you meet the financial, you know, eligibility criteria, all of those pieces. And again, on the website, it's very easy to navigate. And A Wider Circle is here to help you navigate if that's a challenge. If you have challenges utilizing the computer or anything, we're here to support you. And if you already have it and you want to ensure that your provider actually takes it, place the phone call. It's always important to get in front of it, especially if you're taking a long journey to your provider. If you're traveling from Southeast to Northwest, you would want to know that on the front end.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll have that be the last word. Adrian Jordan, Yvonne Boyd, thank you so much for talking to us. And as always, we'll make sure that the information for both organizations will be on our website, whur.com, after 8:30 tonight. That is the Daily Drum for Monday, August 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.